What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode 7 of Eminent Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera, and today we are going to talk Knicks basketball. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing horrible.
Why is that?
I'm just in a deep, deep depression. I knew the Knicks were going to nick.
Well, it wasn't their fault that they got the third pick.
It somehow is.
Well, before we dive into that stuff, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. Tweet us questions, tweet us comments, and you could also check in for any updates, updates regarding shows, episodes, guests, anything of that matter. So let's jump right into it, Nick.
Oh, God.
So the NBA draft lottery was the other night. It was two nights ago on Tuesday night. Started around 8:30 p.m. on ESPN, and, you know, going into it, a lot of people thought that the Knicks were going to get the number one overall pick in the NBA draft lottery, but as it turns out, they dropped to 3, and the Pelicans had a 6% chance, but rose all the way up to the first overall pick, and they have won the Zion sweepstakes. What was your initial reaction when you heard the Pelicans got the first overall pick?
It, like, didn't surprise me. It just kind of got me. I just was very sad. I was at work, and I remember taking a bathroom. I was taking several bathroom breaks because I just had to keep checking my phone to see what was going on. And I see New Orleans Pelicans, number one pick. And I said, yeah.
Yeah, I was extremely disappointed, too. I mean, I was sitting there watching it with my brother and my family. And when I saw that the Cavs got the 5th overall pick, I was ecstatic. I was jumping up and down because that meant the Knicks were definitely in the top 4. And, of course, they had to cut to commercial. They knew what the picks were well in advance, but to just get the Lakers and get the Knicks fans excited, they decided to cut to commercial break. And, you know, I was thinking at that time, I was like, all right, the Lakers only had a 2% chance of getting the first overall pick, and the Pelicans and Memphis both had a 6% chance of getting the first pick, and the Knicks had the best odds at 14 at that point. So I was thinking, all right, the Knicks have this. There's no way that the Knicks are not going to get the first overall pick, especially because their odds almost were like doubled what everybody else had. So when the 4th overall pick was shown as the Lakers, I was thinking, all right, that's it. We're locked in at 1, because I thought that was going to come down to either the Lakers or the Knicks. I had the strange feeling that the Lakers somehow were going to get the first overall pick, because all that morning they just kept talking about Zion going to the Lakers. What if the Lakers get the overall pick and the first overall pick? And I'm just thinking, they only have a 2% chance. Why is everyone losing their minds over this? But when the Lakers were picked 4th and then I saw the Knicks card at 3rd, I was thinking, oh my God, here we go again. The New York Knicks and the New York Knicks fans can never catch a break. And it just seems like there's always something that happens to them. No matter whenever there's the slightest bit of hope, there's always that dagger that just gets you right in the back.
Honestly, the Knicks deserve this low-key. I'm for giving that contract to. I can't even. I just was thinking of his name,
Tim Hardaway.
Well, that one too. But who's the center? Those are
Noah. Joakim Noah. Yeah, that was years ago though. But
I don't care. I'm still salty about that whole. Just the Knicks in general. I was hoping that they would turn around my thinking of them. Nope. Same old Knicks.
But like I was said earlier, you know, it's not their fault that they dropped the 3rd, because you have to look at it with a little bit of optimism. There were other teams in there that also had a 14% chance that dropped, and also teams that had like a 12.5% chance of getting the first overall pick. Chicago fell out of the top 4. Phoenix fell out of the top 4. Cleveland fell out of the top 4. And the only team that stayed were the New York Knicks, and they had the 40% chance of getting the first overall pick and a 40.2% chance of getting a top 3 pick, and ultimately they ended up getting the 3rd overall pick. So at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. You know, it was the second to last thing that you could have wanted as a Knicks fan. Obviously, the first thing you wanted was the first overall pick, and if not the first, you would have settled with 2. And if not 2, you would have settled with 3, but anything past 3, as a Knicks fan, that would have been a disaster, because the lowest they could have dropped was 5. So I think it's a blessing in disguise, the fact that the Knicks fell to 3, and also the fact that the Lakers fell behind them, because of, you know, the Lakers could have used the 3rd overall pick as a trade chip for Anthony Davis. And now that the Knicks have Lakers behind them, you know, maybe New York can make a run for Anthony Davis now that they have that 3rd overall pick. But we'll touch upon that later. You know, but going back to the lottery stuff, you know, if did you see, I mean, I don't know if you saw any footage or any video after you got out of work, but Zion was all smiles and happy in the beginning of the lottery show. And then once the Pelicans were shown as the first overall pick, he quickly looked a little deflated. And I saw this tweet that, I don't know, he doesn't have an agent, but I guess people that were with him quickly took him out of the room because I guess they didn't want him talking to any media, like right off the bat or anything. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I saw some stuff about that, and I kind of saw his face, and I would make that face too. Like, would you rather rot on the Knicks or would you rather rot on the Pelicans?
Yeah, I don't think he would have rotted in New York though. But I see what you're talking about. Like, who would want to go to New Orleans, especially all the drama with Anthony Davis and the fact that, you know, all last year he said he didn't want to be there. So you have a guy who was the Pelicans' last first overall pick that doesn't even want to be there, expressed his frustration. And how, if you're Zion, how are you supposed to be pumped to go there now? And, you know, the one thing that really grinds my gears a little bit is the fact that David Griffin once again gets the first overall pick. And now he is with the Pelicans, but the past three times that he's gotten the first overall pick, he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it just grinds my gears. He's gotten the first overall pick four times out of the past five times that he's been eligible for the first overall pick.
Oh, you think mind-boggling.
I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't know, but
I'm honestly,
what were you saying?
I said, I'm honestly pretty mad that they didn't rig it for the Knicks.
Yeah. I mean, if they were going to rig it, why not rig it now? And, you know, like, it's very typical. It's very New York Knicks-ish for the NBA to change the rules the year that the Knicks are the worst team in basketball. Because if the NBA used last year's lottery system this year, the Knicks would have had a 25% chance of getting the first overall pick, and they would have had the highest odds out of anyone. But of course, the year of Zion, the year the Knicks are the worst team, they had to change the rules to try to prevent taking. And you know what? Adam Silver got what he wanted. He put his nerd glasses on. He sat around a computer, was like, oh, let's figure out the best way not to rig it and not have the frozen envelope thing again. Let's have just a bunch of numbers, and every team has a certain select numbers that means it's their pick. Because the way that they did it this year is it's not just a bunch of ping pong balls with their logo on it that shoots up. It's combinations of numbers. So, like, for example, New York's winning number could have been 7, 15, 13, and 2. So if that combination came up, then that would have been the Knicks' pick. So that's what they did. And, you know, that's unriggable. There's no way you can rig that. And, you know, nerdy Adam Silver got what he wanted. He got the generational talent in a city that no one wants to go to play basketball. And you have a generational talent already in that city, and he does not want to be there. And it has expressed it over and over again how he doesn't want to be there. And it's just very New York Knicksian for that to happen.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of salty about it. But I think this is exactly what the NBA wants. Because, I mean, it's not like the 80s and 90s where they want all their stars in like the major markets. And I don't believe, like, in sports in general, I don't think that major markets is really a thing anymore, because it's like 2019. If you go to any city, if you're good, you're pretty much going to have the same exposure. Like, in Milwaukee, Giannis is like a god.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps with social media too. That definitely helps the small market teams.
Yeah, but with this, I don't know, man. When you're a team like New Orleans, it's like a different situation than New York. I feel like if you waste Anthony Davis and do nothing for 10 years, you shouldn't be allowed. Like,
yeah, right.
The Knicks have been bad, but we haven't been blessed with these generational talents that we just waste. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been wasting players, but not Anthony Davis players.
Yeah.
And like Memphis too, they get two. Do the Grizzlies have fans? Do they sell tickets? Like, you saw the reaction of New Orleans, the ticket office. I was like, why do they need so many people in that office?
Yeah, they were hyped when they saw that they got the first overall pick. And you know what, to be honest with you, I don't blame them. I'd be just as hyped if the Knicks got them. And, you know, I truly feel bad for Zion here because, you know, just looking at it from a money standpoint, he could have made 30 to 40% more money if he would have been selected by the New York Knicks first overall. And, you know, that's because of the exposure he'll get in New York, the sponsorships, the, you know, everything that comes with New York. But, you know, not only is he going to be making 30 to 40% less now with the Pelicans, now he's going to go in a city that's not a basketball town. it's not really a sports town either, other than the Saints, you know? Like, there's nothing down there.
Wow, but, the shade.
I mean, it's true. He could have been playing in Madison Square Garden, but instead now he's playing in the Smoothie King Arena.
Whoa.
That's where Zion quiet. Williams is going to be playing basketball for the next 4 to 5 years minimum.
Ooh, that hurted. Dang, all the hype died immediately.
No, yeah. Now, I want to touch upon this with the whole Zion thing. Do you think that he is going to make a stink about not wanting to go there? Because there's a couple of different options here he can take before going to the draft. Because if you know, he hasn't signed with an agent yet, which means he has until June 10th to decide whether or not he's going to withdraw from the draft and go back to school. Or I think he could go overseas, or he could just train for a year. But do you think that there's a chance that he can pull an Eli Manning and pretty much call up the Pelicans and say, look, and the Grizzlies and say, look, you know, if you draft me, I do not want to be here. I don't want to play here. But, you know, if you're going to draft me, I'm leaving the first chance I get. Do you think he's going to do something like that? And I don't mean make it public, but, you know, just behind closed doors.
I don't think he'll go back to school, and I don't think he should go back to school. But if he really doesn't want to be there, I think he should do what other players have done and just say, don't draft me or else I'm not going to play or I don't want to be there. Like, if you're drafting someone number one overall, you kind of want them to at least, you know, be on the team. And, like, yeah. It's happened before. Like, and, like, it's not, they still might draft him, but they could always trade him. And it just – I think that if you're a team like the Pelicans and you're trying to get better and you're trying to convince Anthony Davis to stay, drafting a guy that doesn't want to be there doesn't really help the situation.
Yeah, and it came out, too, after the Pelicans got the first overall pick, that doesn't change Anthony Davis's mind about wanting to leave New Orleans.
Yeah,
so,
why would it?
Exactly.
It was like, oh, they have Julius Randle and better Julius Randle.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just – I agree with you, though. I don't think Zion's going to go back to school. I don't think he's going to go overseas. But, you know, I think his best option here, if he truly doesn't want to be in New Orleans or Memphis, is say, look, I don't want to be here. If you're going to draft me, I'm leaving the first chance I get. I want to play for either the New York Knicks or the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think Zion should do that. Now, I don't think, like – you know, people might be saying, oh, well, now is this going to be a thing now every year that the first overall pick isn't going to want to be there because the lottery changed? So, you know, you could have a team like Charlotte could just jump up and get the first overall pick next year if they are a lottery team again. But no, I don't think that's going to happen because this is Zion Williamson, a generational type player that we're talking about. And he has one shot at his career, and he should have a choice whether or not he wants to go to a city that he might not want to go to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, I can't. In most situations, and like 99% of the time, if you're getting drafted, I feel like you wouldn't and shouldn't have a problem with the team you're going to because you're a rookie, all this and that. But if you're going, like with any sport in general, if a team drafts you or they have a potential of drafting you and like they have a history of just destroying prospects, like for example, the Browns for like so many years. They would bring people in and it would kind of just destroy their career. Like, look at DeShone Kizer. He was going to be a decent quarterback prospect. He gets thrown in when he's not even ready whatsoever. He has a horrible season and now he's like untouchable because everyone thinks he's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's just the situation. Like, the Pelicans, yeah, they've had like some success. They've gone to the playoffs, but like, they're just the Pelicans. Like if they were to fold right now, I feel like New Orleans wouldn't even care. Like,
mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be this big time superstar, and if the NBA is just different. Like there's so much impact based on one person. And I feel like if they've had Anthony Davis,
that's CP3. Before Anthony Davis, remember that?
Yeah, they had CP3. You see these big-time stars go there, not enjoy themselves, not find the success that they want to have. They don't really they try to build, but not to like a substantial amount, and it doesn't really do anything for them. And they end up leaving eventually anyway. So I feel like he just doesn't want to do that. He wants to go to a place where he can see himself his whole career.
Yeah, no, and I agree 100%. Now, looking at the Knicks with the third overall pick, You know, it's not the end of the world that they got the third overall pick. Like
Loki is.
Like I said at the top of the show, if they got the fourth or fifth pick, that would have been an absolute disaster. But the fact that they got the third pick and the fact that they're a pick above the Lakers definitely helps them to their advantage. Now, looking now ahead to the draft and the free agency and everything that involves the Knicks, you know, I think heading into the draft, my gut feeling tells me that the Knicks are going to draft RJ Barrett. And I think that's just going to be an obvious thing. I think Zion's obviously going one. And apparently the Grizzlies are deadlocked in drafting the, quote, point god, as Ja Morant calls himself. So that leaves RJ Barrett in New York at three. And I think that's going to be the one and only thing that could happen on draft night for the Knicks, like who they're going to draft-wise. Now, my thing is, I think they're definitely drafting RJ, but I think their best-case scenario is to package that and make a trade for Anthony Davis. Now, what are your thoughts immediately before I break it down a little bit further? What do you think is going to happen on trade on draft night? Who do you think they're going to draft? And what do you agree with me about packaging that pick for Anthony Davis?
Let's see. If they're at three, I hope they draft Barrett, because I mean, who else are they going to draft? But I could see the Knicks doing one of two things: either drafting some nobody. That's going to be hopefully like Porzingis. Remember when we had Porzingis? Yeah. I don't remember. But, or they're going to do that. I feel like they'll try to trade. I could see them trying to do that. I just don't necessarily think they should. Because I see them, I feel like if they do trade for Anthony Davis, they're going to just give away the whole team and they're going to have to. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, say that's just trying to set up you potentially getting two other people like Kyrie and Kevin Durant, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens if they don't come? Now you have Anthony Davis and nobody else, and it's just the New York Pelicans.
Well, that's a great point, but you know the only thing I disagree with is the fact that KD and Kyrie might not come even with Anthony Davis in New York. I think if Anthony Davis is in New York, that just makes Kyrie and KD want to come just 10 times more. Now, before we really dive deep into the free agency stuff, going back to the draft night, you know, if the Knicks were to package up RJ Barrett with a couple other players, maybe some picks, you know, what I think they should do if they are going to pursue Anthony Davis is I think the trade should be either of these two that I have right in front of me. So the first package I have the Knicks getting Anthony Davis and the Pelicans get Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, Alonzo Trier, the third overall pick in this year's draft, and one Mavs first rounder. That's the first
package. Damn. Oh, my God.
And now the second package that I have would be the Knicks get Anthony Davis, the Pelicans get Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, the third overall pick in this year's draft, and both Mavs first rounders that they got in the Porzingis trade. Now, I know it sounds like a lot. I know it really does, both of them. But, you know, let's just focus on one right now, because I personally want to keep Alonzo Trier over Kevin Knox right now. I know Kevin Knox played, I think, 6 to 7 more minutes per game than Trier. I know Trier missed some time. So did Knox. He also missed some time. But Trier's shooting over 40% from the field, where Kevin Knox is shooting under 40. And Trier has a higher shooting percentage from the three-point line over Kevin Knox. Now, again, you know, Kevin Knox was drafted top 10, and Trier was an undrafted rookie. But in the time that they had on the court, Trier performed better than Kevin Knox. Of course, Kevin Knox averaged 2.5 more points than Trier. But again, I think that just comes with playing more minutes than Trier. But I think the most important thing, if they are to trade for Anthony Davis, is that Mitchell Robinson has to be an untouchable, along with future Knicks first-round picks. I think the future first-round picks that are the Knicks picks and Mitchell Robinson have to be untouchables in this draft, in this trade. Anthony Davis and Mitchell are friends. They have trains together. They have the same trainer as well. And I think I think he's going to be a very serviceable starting center in a few years once he's able to develop more. Now, with the Mavs picks, the reason why I'm willing to trade the Mavs picks is because they got both these picks in the Porzingis trade. Now, regardless of how Porzingis plays, whether he's half the player that he was or he's even better than the player he was pre-injury, Luka Doncic is still a Maverick. He's still a real deal. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I don't see this Mavs team with, you know, with whatever type of Porzingis you're going to get, I don't really see them, you know, being a top five pick in future years, in the years that they have those picks. So if it's going to be two first round picks, so why not package that up and give them to New Orleans? And Frank, you know, he's garbage. It's time for him to go. So that's not a big deal.
I'm glad you admit
if,
it.
If they have to trade Trier, oh well. You know, good. See you later. But Dennis Smith Jr., he has to go because of the fact that they could get Kyrie. And Kevin Knox, he's going to be replaced with Kevin Durant, potentially. So what are your thoughts on those two packages? So just real quick again, my first package, Knicks get AD, Pelicans get Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., Neal Akina, Trier, the third pick this year, one Mavs pick. In the one Mavs first rounder. The second package, Knicks get AD, Pelicans get Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank, this third overall pick, and both Mavs first rounders. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. I don't know about trading the whole house because I just know they're going to make all these moves and Katie and Kyrie aren't going to
see. That's where I disagree, man. There's already talk that Katie and Kyrie are – quote-unquote, according to Stephen A. Smith, 95%
Stephen 95%
committed to New York. And, you know, there's just been so much talk within the past couple of weeks, and I think it's inevitable that they come to New York. That's my gut feeling. I think my gut's telling me that the Knicks are going to draft RJ and immediately flip whatever package deal comes their way for Anthony Davis on draft night on June 20th. They have to keep Mitchell. They have to keep future first-round picks. And I'm even going to say they have to keep Damian Dotson as well. He's been emerging. He's a good wing. He's a good shooting guard. And those are the three things that I think are musts in this draft. I mean, in this trade. Dotson, Mitchell, and future Knicks picks must be untouchable.
I don't know, man. I like our young guys.
Yeah, but, I mean, if Kyrie and KD is already thinking about coming to New York, you're telling me right now, if the Knicks trade for Anthony Davis, because I think they're going to have to do this first before free agency starts, so I think it's going to happen on draft night, you're telling me you're KD and Kyrie and the Knicks add Anthony Davis, you're already thinking about coming here. That's not going to make you want to come here that much more?
I mean, on paper, well, but I don't know. The Knicks have been bad for so long, and trading all your pieces for this 4-year run, that's like it's a gamble. Just, and if they don't do anything or anything, then it just restarts the process all over again. In 4 years, everyone's gonna be in their early or mid 30s, and it's just gonna be poopy for everyone.
So you're telling me right now, the Knicks haven't been great. They haven't been good for 20 years. You're telling me right now, you're not gonna trade away, you know, maybe, yeah, you're right, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now the Knicks aren't that good, but they're still an average team, but just not as good as they were. So you're telling me you're not willing to give up the guys that I mentioned now to have up to 5 years of dynasty level basketball? You're telling me you wouldn't do that? You wouldn't make that trade?
I mean,
they have the potential to be the next dynasty. It went from the Miami that I'm saying falls into place, they have the chance to be that dynasty. They can go from being that Miami Heat team that had that run. And then now you have the Golden State Warriors. This could set them up for the next 4 to 5 years of being the best team in basketball. I'm a little shocked that you're not willing to make that trade or make that sacrifice.
I mean, I am, but I could just see the writing on the wall because Kyrie's bipolar. I don't even think he can't even handle the Boston media. Couldn't handle the Cleveland media. Now he's going to handle the New York media.
It wasn't the Cleveland media that ran him out of town. It was the fact that he wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow. And then the whole thing.
Look at him now he wants
to. The whole thing with Boston is he didn't choose to go to Boston. New York was on his list of teams he wanted to be traded to, and they traded him to Boston. He went into a situation where he might have not wanted to be, where he probably didn't want to be there. He went into a situation where they were already a decent team before he got there, and they had better success in the playoffs without him than with him. So maybe coming to New York, coming to a team he actually wants to go to might pump up some juices that we haven't seen. Maybe we'll see the best Kyrie Irving that we've ever seen. And, you know, the one thing that I do have to say here, though, is that I'm a little concerned about the injury history with Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Now, I was talking.
They're all injuries.
Yeah, not KD, not as much as Kyrie and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, by far, is the most injury prone out of all three. But, you know, Anthony Davis, if the Knicks were to trade him, they're going to have to sign him to an extension because he could be a free agent after next year. So, hypothetically speaking, if everything goes their way, there could be potentially, you know, you could be paying three guys max money and two of them being made of glass. And that's the only reason why I have a little hesitation with giving away what I said for Anthony Davis. But, you know, one of my friends, he brought up a good point. If three of these guys come play in New York, you're taking a big workload off of Anthony Davis. So maybe he's not going to, you know, he doesn't have to play 100%, not 100% of the time. He could take some plays off because he has Kyrie and Kevin Durant out there. And same with Kyrie. You know, Kevin Durant could take the ball up and he could play like a point forward. So Kyrie's not going to have the ball in his hands all the time. Anthony Davis could do the same thing, but now he's not going to have the ball in his hands at the same all the time. So, you know, I think when you have these three guys together, maybe just the fact that they help each other out and they take the pressure off of each other, maybe that could keep them healthy.
I don't know. I just prefer – don't get me wrong. I would like having – if Anthony Davis came to the Knicks, I'd 100% get a jersey and I'd be with it. But I don't know. I just prefer to build through free agency and drafting and try to prevent trading away everybody, because then now you just have – say they do get everybody. Now you just have three players and literally Joe Schmo, the plumber for the Madison Square Garden as your as your shooting guard. Like, I don't know. It could work out, but at the same time, like, you're literally just selling your soul just for those three guys. And you just got to see if you could find some low contracts, some veterans to fill out everything.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree 100%, but if they have a chance here to get Anthony Davis, and if getting Anthony Davis means that you have a 100% agreement from KD and Kyrie, I think you have to do that. And, you know, let's just say that they do that, right? And then they do the trade, the second package that I said. So you keep Trier, but now you've given up both Mavs picks. So the deal would be Knox, Smith, Frank, the third pick, and both Mavs first rounders, and the Knicks get AD. You know, your lineup is looking something like Kyrie as your point guard, and then your shooting guard. If, you know, obviously you're going to have to fill out the extra spots with veterans, and we'll get more into that later when we talk about the free agency, but you could have Trier as your backup shooting guard. You could have, obviously, Robinson, if they keep him, will be the backup center, because I think the Knicks should re-sign DeAndre Jordan and have him be your starting center amongst Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and KD. And let's not forget Luke Kornet. He can be the backup power forward, and he's not a scrub. He's like a poor man's Porzingis. He could be a rim protector. He's not as great of a rim protector as Porzingis and Mitchell Robinson, but he can stretch the floor. He can shoot threes. He can shoot the mid-range. He can get to the basket. He's a nice piece to have there as your backup power forward.
Wait, so the Knicks are going to have three centers? They're going to have DeAndre Jordan, Anthony Davis, and Mitchell Robinson?
You could put Anthony Davis at the four and put KD at the three. Talk about Mitch. Mismatches.
I don't know, man. Three hypothetically, centers. I don't know.
Anthony Davis could play the four. He's not a traditional center. I mean, look what happened. Look what happened with DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins was on that team with the Pelicans. He was the center, and Anthony Davis played power forward, and that worked out fine. The only reason why they didn't make any noise is because DeMarcus Cousins tore his Achilles. Otherwise, I think they would have beaten the Golden State Warriors last year. To be completely honest with you.
Oh, you're bugging out.
No, we could save this conversation for another day, but
the Pelicans are beating the Warriors
last year with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. The way they were playing.
What?
All right, well, like I said, we'll save this conversation for another day. But going back to the Knicks, and like you mentioned, they're going to have to get vets to fill in, but I think that's going to be the easy part. There's gonna be vets out there that are just gonna cycle through within the next 4 to 5 years if they get that big three. Look at the Heat; they had a bunch of vets that filtered in and out, like Mike Miller, Shane Battier, Birdman, Ray Allen. Look at the Warriors; they have vets that cycle in and out. You know, their bench changes every single year because of the people that they bring in and out. So I think it'll be the same thing with the Knicks if they were to get the big three. They'll obviously still have Trier if possible. They'll have Dotson. They'll have Kornet and Robinson, hopefully. And then the remaining piece of the roster, you just fill in with vets. And I have a list of three vets right now that I think would be a great fit for the New York Knicks if they were to get the big three and the second package, like I said.
I got a veteran that will be the best fit.
So you go first.
I just got one, and I only need one. Carmelo.
Yeah, you know, I'm
Mello.
I have him on my list, but I'm not opposed to that. But my only thing is that if the Knicks are gonna sign Melo, it has to be to a 1-year deal to prove that he can still play because he hasn't played for a year.
The disrespect.
And it has to be for a vet minimum.
Wow.
Not only that, he needs to come off the bench and learn his role. If he thinks he's going to come out and take 30 to 40 shots per game, then I don't want him.
Yeah,
I want him to understand his role. He's out there to score 10 to 15 points per game, but also let the young guys in the second unit get theirs too. You know, that's the only reason.
He's the OG. He was one of the only people that wanted to play here, and you disrespect him. That's crazy.
If he's coming, if the Knicks sign him, has to be a 1-year vet minimum, has to come off the bench and understand his role. Other than that, see ya.
Wow, but, you told him to go kick rocks.
Yep, go kick rocks.
Wow, that's wild.
But so the three vets that I was thinking would be J.J. Redick from the 76ers because he's a free agent after this year. And if you remember, the Philly has a situation in Pennsylvania too. They have to decide whether or not to give the max to Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris or both. And in a few years, Ben Simmons is going to have a big-time contract. I'm not 100% sure what Joel Embiid's contract is like. But, you know, those two guys are going to have to get their money. I think at all costs, they're going to have to re-sign Jimmy Butler. So I think J.J. Redick becomes the outlier because he's going to want to get paid too. But if you're J.J. Redick, are you willing to sign with any random team that gives you the most money? Or are you willing to take a little bit of a pay cut and you could play with Kyrie, KD, and Anthony Davis in New York?
Well, what's a pay cut? He makes like $20 million a year.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know what the money situation is going to look like after they get Anthony Davis, and if they get Anthony Davis, then, because they're going to have to sign him to an extension, and then they're going to obviously have to give the max to Kyrie and KD. So I don't know exactly how much money they're going to have left over, but I don't even know if this is possible. I'm just giving just a couple of ideas out there that I think that could happen. But I'm thinking J.J. Redick, if he's willing to take a pay cut.
That'd be a huge pay cut. They can convince him to show or play for the Knicks for like not $23 million, then I guess he'll be good.
I'm also thinking Danny Green. He's from Long Island, so that would be, you know, he would be returning home. And also, you know, this is the one that probably is the farthest reach out of the three that I said, because he is a starting point guard on the Clippers, and he was a starting point guard on the Rockets before he got traded to the Clippers. But I think Patrick Beverley would be a great fit as a backup point guard for New York Knicks. But again, he would have to accept the backup role and obviously accept a little bit of a pay cut because he's not a scrub either. But if these guys want to get rings, I think that's the best case scenario right there.
Wow. I don't know, man. I hope they keep all their young guys and just kind of build. I think they should get some versatile players, guys that can, you know, fill out different positions. Mm-hmm. Who I like, who I think would, for value of the contract and of the player, I think they should try to get Tobias Harris.
Yeah, he's going to want the max deal, though.
Well, I know he's going to want to get the max deal, but I'm just saying if they're going to convince J.J. Redick to take a pay cut, maybe they could convince Tobias Harris. And then I'm also thinking that this isn't a scenario that they don't get Anthony Davis trade. Obviously, if they trade for him, that's not going to work out. If they do trade for Anthony Davis, it's going to be hard because you kind of have to scour the NBA streets for people who are going to want very low contracts, because you're going to have basically three maxes. Mm-hmm. And when you have three maxes, you can't really fill out your roster like you would prefer to. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the people who you brought up, especially Patrick Beverley. I really like
him. Yeah, I just think he'd be a great fit. He brings that grit. He has, like, that New York attitude already. And I
don't know if he would leave, though. I feel like he likes his situation. I feel like all the players you name are ideal, but they're in good situations where they are.
Yeah, but look, for example, Patrick Beverley, right? What happens if the Clippers don't get Kawhi Leonard? What happens if they get no one? You know, what are they going to do again? Be a seventh or eighth seed, possibly not even make the playoffs next year? Because they when they made the trade to get rid of Tobias Harris, who was a big part of their success early on the season, you know, they carried the momentum of already being good. And that's, you know, along with the momentum, having a great coach in Doc Rivers, and just like the not quit mentality, I can't see them repeating again next year and making the playoffs, especially. You know, other teams are going to get better. The Lakers will be better with the healthy LeBron James. You know, they were the fourth overall seed before he went out. There's other young teams, too, that could potentially make some noise. You're forgetting about the Kings. They almost made the playoffs. They were competing all up until like the last few weeks of the season. So I don't see the Clippers making the playoffs again next year. So, I mean, that's just my thing with Patrick Beverley. Maybe he wants to leave and play for a contender. And now with Danny Green and J.J. Redick, you know, you said maybe these guys don't want to leave the situations they're in. You know, the 76ers got eliminated 2 years in a row now in the second round of the playoffs. And this year they loaded up too. They went all in getting Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, and they still lost. Obviously, I know it was a crazy, crazy buzzer beater shot. That the reason why they lost, they went the distance in seven games. But still, you're now 2 years in a row of not making the not advancing past the second round. And what happens if Kawhi stays in Toronto? Now you have to continuously go through Toronto to get to where you want to go. And let's not forget about the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they're the real deal. And hypothetically speaking, the Greek Freak is only going to get better. So maybe on their own respective teams, J.J. Redick and Danny Green, maybe they won't be able to topple the Greek Freak. Maybe the 76ers might not ever be able to topple the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard. And maybe the Raptors might not be able to tackle the Greek Freak Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. So maybe if the Knicks get Anthony Davis, get Kevin Durant, and get Kyrie Irving, maybe those three vets say, you know, the best chance to win right now is to go join forces in New York. Because that New York team, the team that we've been talking about with KD, Kyrie, AD, you know, that team is going to just run through the NBA. They're going to be able to beat Antetokounmpo. They're going to be able to beat Kawhi Leonard. They'll be able to beat the Lakers and LeBron James and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson if he resigns with the Warriors. You know, they'll be able to beat those teams. And to be honest with you, if this team pulls through, I think that gets them two rings minimum.
I respect that.
Could you? Yeah. What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
Could you imagine this lineup for the Knicks next year? Hypothetically speaking, if everything goes right and it's the trade that the second package, like I was talking about, where you keep Trier, or even if you get rid of Trier. So let's just say Trier is gone in this particular scenario. Your starting lineup could potentially be Kyrie Irving, either J.J. Redick or Danny Green, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and DeAndre Jordan. Because I think that's a staple, too. You must keep DeAndre. And then your
feel like I'm playing 2K. Right
yeah, now. And then your bench could look something like Patrick Beverley, either Dotson.
Oh, you're bugging out right now.
Danny Green, Cornette, and Mitch. And then if you want to sign Melo, you just throw Melo in there.
But Melo.
Could you imagine, man, if that's what the Knicks team sort of looks like next year?
But it won't. They're gonna sign Jeremy Lamb. And Rudy.
I think they know what they're doing now, and they're. They're not messing around. Did you see, too? Like, it was – I think it was after – I don't even know what was going on yesterday. But all the GMs, I guess they stay in the same hotel. And I forgot if David Griffin walked out of the elevator or if it was Scott Perry and Steve Mills, the Knicks GMs that walked out of the elevator. But for the case of the argument, let's just say it was the Knicks. Well, one of the GMs walked out of the elevator and immediately walked into the Pelicans GM, David Griffin. And they had a one-on-one conversation or a two-on-one, since it was both Scott Perry and Steve Mills for the Knicks. They had a two-on-one conversation for quite a while. It was captured on someone took a picture of it. It was captured on the camera. And what do you like? It just, they're already talking, the Pelicans and the Knicks. They're already talking. They're talking now. And it gets me antsy, because I truly think, my gut feeling is telling me that what I'm saying is going to come to fruition.
I don't know, man. That'll be the first time in my lifetime where something decent worked out for the Knicks.
I know, me too.
If that happens, I'll be pretty hyped, but I don't know. I would prefer to trade as little away of the team as possible and just kind of keep continuously build on through like free agency and drafting. But I mean, if that's what you got to do, you got to sell your soul sometimes. That's the way it goes.
I agree too. The one thing too, not only is the injury history of Anthony Davis like giving me a little hesitation in this trade, but also the fact if the Pelicans want the entire team and a tons of picks, then I am not doing this trade. You know, I am not willing to gut my entire team, because the last time the Knicks gutted their entire team for one player, how many rings did they get?
Fat
zero. Exactly. Zero. They got nothing, and it set them up for failure. Moving forward, they had no picks, they had no bench, they had no one. So, like I said, I'm not opposed to making this deal, but it has to be the right people. And and they cannot give up Dotson. They cannot give up future first-round Knicks picks, and they must not give up on Mitchell Robinson.
No, I don't think they'll trade Robinson.
But now,
I feel like that's the one player that's the young player that they absolutely won't. I feel like they'd prefer not to move Trier, but I feel like they would if it's the right deal.
But Mitchell has to be an untouchable. But looking at free agency and just piggybacking off what we've been talking about, what's your gut feeling telling you about this New York Knicks offseason? And you could start from the draft night, possible trade with the Pelicans, and like, what is your gut telling you is going to happen this offseason?
My gut, or what I want my gut to feel?
Well, what's your gut feeling, and then tell us what you would want to happen.
All right, we'll start what I want to happen. I want everyone to just chill. I want the Knicks to draft who they think is the best player. I'm assuming it'd be RJ Barrett. I don't think anyone else, because RJ Barrett was considered the number one pick before the start of the college.
Yeah, but my only thing with RJ Barrett is just the fact that when Zion got hurt, he kind of disappeared a little bit, and then he also disappeared a little bit in the tournament. But nonetheless, I still think he's a great player. But what were you saying about that?
I said I could dig an RJ Barrett pick, and then I don't know what you could do with him. I don't really care what they do with him. If they want to move him with maybe one or two other pieces to try to bring in someone, like another role player. And then hopefully, ideally, you know, Kyrie and KD, that's what everyone wants. Hopefully they sign, they come, they have good chemistry, and then boom, we're off to the races. What I think...
Your gut feeling?
My gut feeling is that they're going to try to trade for Anthony Davis. I feel like if they try, I feel like there's a good chance that they can actually get it done, like if they really want it. I feel like Anthony Davis will come and they'll have like no one else with him, and it'll be all by himself and no one else will come. Or they don't do this trade, and I feel like KD goes somewhere else or stays in OKC.
Golden State.
I feel like either OKC. I'm bugging out right now. And I feel like Kyrie has a good chance. I feel like he wants to come to New York, but here's my thing. Like, if you're these players, right, why go to the New York and why go to New York when you could have almost the same thing in Brooklyn with a team that already wants to go?
Yeah, that's not the same, though, but I see where you're coming from.
I mean, it's not the same, but if I'm them, like, if I was them, I wouldn't come to the Knicks. But I'm, as a Knicks fan, I want them to come. But if I'm them, I mean, it'd be different if, like, you know, they came at the same time and they could, like, change it, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. But, like, just the history, like, you see how the front office has managed things. And you don't have, like, for example, Kyrie, he doesn't like how Boston's handled things. It's going to be when, like, things get gritty or things start to get hard, it's probably going to be just the same. It's definitely going to be just the same, or if not worse, because, you know, management isn't really going to change if they show you who they are over the past 20 years. KD, I don't know, hopefully he turns into a full grown cake and doesn't stay as a baby cupcake, but we'll see. I don't know. That's, hopefully they get both of them. I don't know. I'm just not holding my breath then. If they don't get him, I won't be shocked. I won't be hurt. It'll just be another
L to add to the Knicks trophy case.
Another L to add to my Knicks trophy case. That's exactly right.
You know, I all your points are very valid. My gut feeling is telling me that the Knicks are going to draft RJ at 3, then flip him along with some other pieces like Knox, Dennis Smith, Frank, and hopefully both future Mavs picks, first-round picks for Anthony Davis. And then after the acquisition of Anthony Davis, that just automatically makes KD and Kyrie want to come to New York just that much more, because I think that would be the most unstoppable big three that we have ever seen in the NBA. So we have Kyrie, KD, and Anthony Davis. And then I think that they will just cycle vets in and out, see who they need over the course of the few years. They're going to sign AD to the extension. And then, like I said, if that's the case, I'm feeling two rings minimum. And now to bring up your Brooklyn point, you know, yes, they had a really great season. They made the playoffs. They're clearly the better team in New York right now in basketball-wise. But I think that they're going to re-sign D'Angelo Russell. And my gut feeling is telling me that they're going to spend their max money on a Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I could. I don't know, man. I just want them to make a good decision.
Yeah, but I think they're definitely taking the steps, the right steps, and they're heading into the right direction. Unlike the Jets, you know, as soon as you think they're heading in the right direction, they take five steps backwards with the firing of their GM. But that's a topic for another day.
Brown shoes.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Giants aren't alone in wearing the clown shoes.
But, you know, this is going to be a very important offseason for the New York Knicks. And the next month, next month and a half is going to be a very stressful time for us Knicks fans. But we'll see what happens. My gut is telling me that we're going to get the big three in Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and KD. And like I said, if that's the case, that they get two rings minimum. They have to keep Mitch. They have to re-sign DeAndre Jordan. They have to keep their future first-round picks, and I think they have to keep Damian Dotson. What's your final say here, Nick?
Final say?
Yeah.
I'm ready for L season. we've already tasted our first L. I could the little saltiness. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't wait for it to just overpower my taste.
Yeah, I mean, the Zion thing definitely did hurt, especially if you're a Knicks fan, but there is optimism out there. The third pick is not a bad pick, and I think the fact that
it's not a great pick,
but it's not a bad pick, and the fact that the Lakers are a pick behind the Knicks, it just makes the Knicks package that much better in a trade scenario with the New Orleans Pelicans. But like I said, I'm thinking AD, KD, and Kyrie are coming to New York, and if that's the case, they got two rings minimum in their near future, regardless if it's 4 years, 5 years, six years that they're together. I'm thinking 2 years, two rings minimum. But I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been episode 7 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. We'll see what happens this offseason. Let's go, Knicks.
Let's go, L's.